Recording now.
All right. So it is 6 p.m. on November the 12th. This is Mayor Johnson, and I am calling this council meeting to order. We take and roll. All the council members are present, and council members Kinzer and McGoffin made a motion to approve the agenda, which was approved by all the council members. A motion made to and approved by all the council members. So now I am looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda. It's items 1 through 10.
All right, Madam Mayor, this is Councilmember DeYoung. I move the consent agenda items 1 through 10.
All right, thank you.
I second Councilmember Kesty.
Thank you. So I have a motion by Councilmember DeYoung, seconded by Councilmember Kesty. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion carries. We will move on to staff reports, and I will begin with Fire Chief Klinger.
Good evening, Council Mayor. It's been a very rough week as far as COVID patients. In the last week, we've had a total of 174 new cases within the county. We're averaging right over around 25 to 30, depending on which report you look at, new cases, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. We've actually had our first cases that we've actually ran into in the field here in the last week or so. But we're all taking precautions. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we're handling the situation.
Perfect. Thank you. And yes, I know you are. You guys are very adept. Okay, moving on to Police Lieutenant McElraith.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't have anything to add for you guys tonight.
All right, thank you. IT Director Bill Chambers.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
May I go back to the police report? I saw on Facebook there was the rumor of a drive-by shooting on Township that ended up to be an accidental discharge, or what was the situation there?
That's true from what you're hearing. Self-inflicted wound, just subjects not telling us the truth originally. So it's figured out. No drive-by shooting.
Okay, no drive-by shooting. Thank you.
No drive-by shooting.
Thank you.
All right, IT Director Bill Chambers.
So Glenn has finished up with the second phase of the touchless entry system out at Fire Station 2. And I have chosen to delay our email migration for another couple of weeks due to an issue with DNS and our Microsoft Exchange Online tenant. So I think I can get that figured out by tomorrow, but that won't give me much time to get everything put together to complete the migration. So I just want to play it safe. Just helping out with lots of public records requests. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Finance Manager Jill Scott.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you. I don't have a lot to report tonight. There's always a lot happening down in finance, so just lots of different projects as we're getting close to the year end. I'm also wrapping up the CARES reimbursement this month, as the November 30th is the deadline for that. And we are also, and Doug may touch on this, we are currently going to be hiring an AP clerk to replace Cheryl Brew. So that's kind of an exciting time, but also a bittersweet. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Jill. Building Director John Coleman.
All right. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes.
So nothing major to report to the council tonight. The only things they may that may be of interest is the Planning Commission is holding a public hearing November 17th. That's Tuesday night on the Reed Street property rezone request that the City Council made a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. And so the They'll be having a public hearing on that. They're also having a public hearing on proposed changes to the downtown parking regulations that are meant to address some comments that the city council had asked the planning commission to review later last year, and finally getting a chance to work on that. And that's all I have.
Excellent. All right, thank you. Public Works Director Mark Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Not too much to report on tonight. We did have our public meeting on the American Disabilities Act transition plan last week. It went well. We had about, I think there was over a dozen attending, including some of the advisory committee, but several very good comments from the public. And so we're integrating those in the plan and moving forward to getting a plan draft out in the not too distant future. Nathan's crew prepped for the paving on Rita Street previous week, and then last week we did get the paving finished on that. If you haven't been by the library, that looks pretty nice. And we are in design with a consultant on the SR20, SR9 Township Intersection Project, and we're doing submittal reviews on the electrical improvements at the wastewater plant. And moving forward with the wastewater treatment plant laboratory operations building relocation. And as I mentioned the last meeting, integrating the public works building construction in that. So that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mark. City Attorney Nikki Thompson.
I have also been working on a lot of public records requests lately. And it's actually been really fun because I've never worked with GovQA before. This is my first city that's used GovQA. So it's been interesting to get to learn about new technology. So I've been doing a lot of that. And then just the usual behind the scenes, reviewing documents and contracts and answering questions when needed.
All right, thank you, Nikki. And our city supervisor, Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple items for note. We're putting the final touches on our budget for the next 2 years. That'll be coming to City Council at the next meeting. So look forward to that. An update on the Reed Street property. I've been talking with the Rao family, and they have hired an appraiser and have a number back on that. Probably at our next meeting, it would be wise for us to probably have an executive session to talk about the details of potentially purchasing that property. So we have a purchase and sales agreement ready to go, but we should have that conversation first. I have let Mrs. Rao know that, so she's in the loop on everything. A couple other items. We are going to be completing our audit with the state auditors. We probably have another week or two of just work with them, and then they will take that through their approval ladder that they go through, and we should be hearing back from that. And as Jill mentioned, we are also looking at our candidates for the accounts payable position in finance. We received, I believe it was a little over 70 applications for the job. We interviewed 6 individuals, and we're going through the background checks and kind of some final research and comments on those. We should probably by the first part of this next week have a candidate selected, and then talking with the mayor over that position as well. So we're getting close to that. That'll give hopefully a couple of weeks of time for that person to come in and work with Cheryl before she goes out the door. So that's all that I have for today.
Well, thank you. And then moving on to our council member reports, I will begin with Councilman Owen.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have anything tonight.
All right, thank you, Chuck. Councilman DeYoung.
Good evening, Mayor. First off, Councilmember Allen, my sincerest condolences. And just looking around Ward 6, we're anticipating a pretty big blow here starting Friday, some big rains and some wind. So I'm confident that our Public Works Department is on any type of storm damage that might be anticipated, and also with the wastewater treatment. That we're all about that. And been looking at the hydrological reports and forecasts, and does not It's not forecasted for any flooding, so that's good news. Madam Mayor, I'd like to make just a personal statement about the loss of Mr. Harold Beitler. Mr. Beitler was a man of character and integrity and great class. And it was my great honor to have known Mr. Beitler and enjoyed many of our cup of coffees, conversations about our community. And Harold will be greatly missed. And my sincerest condolences to his loving family. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you ran against Harold, did you not? Didn't you and Harold run?
Harold and I competed for the open seat. That is correct. And yeah. I stand by that Harold is a man of class and integrity and a character, but also a person of character.
All right, thank you. Councilman McGoffin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to thank Officer Laura Carr and Mark Freiberger for their help on cleaning up the Sap Road trash issue. I had a resident call me regarding extensive amounts of trash being dumped there, and they were really impressed by the responsiveness of the city once it was brought to our attention. She was really relieved and just grateful that it was such a quick response. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brandon. Councilman Allen. Councilman Allen, you're still muted.
I was, Madam Mayor. Okay. I think staff wants to get out of this meeting early so they have no reports. But anyway, I would like to thank all the council members that have showed their love, support, and prayers for me. So thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Glenn. We continue to remember you in our prayers. Councilwoman Kinzer.
Madam Mayor, I have nothing tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Kesty.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also have nothing to report tonight.
All right. Okay, thank you. I just have a couple items. Couple of them are business. First, I want to say I listened to the governor tonight. He came on at 5:30 with his wife, Trudy, and he was talking about how we're in the third wave of this virus. And the encouragement was, of course, for everybody to stay home, to social distance, and not to get together during the holidays with anyone except perhaps family. And they gave suggestions as to what to do during the holidays. But I want to remind everybody, if they have the opportunity to go online and read the CDC guidelines, as far as the COVID virus, it continues to spike, as I stated earlier. And we also have a list that talks about holiday guidelines that's on both our city website and our Facebook. Just a reminder to the public and to council members that we are still taking applications for the council at large. Applications are online, and if anyone would like to apply or knows of somebody that you think might be a good candidate, we encourage you to do that, to go online and to apply. And the is just a reminder to council that our next meeting is on Tuesday. It's going to be Tuesday the 24th at 6 p.m. And of course, that's due to Thanksgiving. It lands on the week of Thanksgiving. So with that, we will move on to public comments. It is...
Madam Mayor, I have a quick question.
Yes, Madam Kinzer.
When will the council large position come before the council?
That is going to be our work session in December, and I believe it's December 4th.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good question, by the way. Okay, so I have... 6:16 right now, and I'm going to open up public comment. I don't know if we have anybody on the line for it. I didn't really check, but if there is anybody who would like to make public comment, please state your name and address, and if you can, keep it to 3 minutes. So I will open it up, see if there's anybody there. Okay, hearing no comments, it is 6:17 and I'm going to close public comment, and we will jump right into public hearings. As I stated, it is 6:17, and I'm going to open up this public hearing, this meeting to our public hearing for the property tax levy ordinance. We did receive one letter, and I will read that letter into the record. It says, Cedar Willy City Council. My name is Helen Wheeler, and I live inside Cedar Willy city limits on Sauk Mountain Drive and living on a fixed income. My husband and I worked very hard all our lives and saved and planned for our retirement. Now that I am a widow, I am finding it is becoming extremely difficult to budget my income as to cover the rises in everything from groceries, gas, automobile, medical insurance, property taxes, utilities, and school levies. Now you want to raise the city property and utility tax again. The city of Cedar Willy property tax was at $488 in 2015. It is now $789, which does not include the school levies. In 2018, the utility tax were $100.73. Now they're $115.83 with a small garbage can. My question to you is to please tell me what you have done with the money that I and other citizens in Cedar Willy have already paid, and what possible reason do you have to raise the tax once again? Perhaps you and city management should put yourselves on a budget, just as we all have had to do to live within our budget. Hopefully during the Zoom meeting, you will be able to answer any of these questions. Thank you, Helen Wheeler. So, and I do know that City Supervisor Doug Merriman did have a conversation with her, and he did answer her questions. But because she had addressed this to the City Council for the meeting, I have read it in. So if there's anybody else on the line who would like to make comment in this public hearing. Okay, hearing none, it is now 6:19, and I will close this public hearing for the 2021 property tax levy ordinance and turn it over to Mr. Merriman.
Just finding my mute button there really quick. Thank you, Mayor and City Council. Can everyone see my slide on the screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. So what I have is just a couple of slides here. They're familiar ones to most of you. So we've had this conversation a little bit in the past. But what we're looking at for tonight, we have a couple of goals to do. First is the public hearing, which we just held. And then just have a brief discussion about our 2021 property tax levy. As you know, the implicit price deflator, or IPD, is 0.602%. We'll talk about why that's important in a minute. And we'll talk about inflation rates that we've had over time, the effect of the 1% levy over time, and what a 1% increase does for an average household. So first, we've talked about the implicit price deflator, and I'll just call it the IPD. It's a lot easier to spit that one out. So the inflation is measured by this. It's what is statutorily out there when we talk about property taxes. And it covers the price changes in a lot of things. It's not just on wages or just on a particular goods or service, but it's one that's put out there by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics that covers a broad base of different cost factors. So what we have to talk about tonight are two ordinances. And the reason why we do that, normally if the IPD is greater than 1%, we just talk about one ordinance. However, this year it's the 0.602. So we have two ordinances we have to do to accomplish the same goal. So this is just a slide that shows really quick what that IPD has been over time. And as you can see, as you start in 2002, and go over time, it's been all over the map. We've had 1 year back in 2009, which was when the recession started, it was actually in the negative. There's been years right before that, it was over 4%. And the last few years has probably averaged around 1% to 1.2%, as you can see. But overall, since 2002, the average has been about 1.7%. So this is a slide that's kind of important for us to consider because it shows a little bit of a gap problem that we have, and I'll explain what that means. As you can see on this chart, there's hopefully it's a green line that you see on your screen, and I'm running the cursor up it. This is the Consumer Price Index, and what it shows is what the increases have been since 2002. And as you can see, when you come to today, that number has gone up 44% over that 19 years. The IPD that we talked about is the red line, and that shows that that's gone up a little over 32% over that 19 years. This bottom line shows what our property tax revenue has done over that same 19-year period. We're at about a 7% increase there. So what that gives us is we have a gap in here. So with prices increasing at this amount, but our revenue staying pretty flat, especially through these 11 years right in here, we lose the power of our dollar when we're buying things. We don't have as much money because the price of those goods has actually gone up. So I put this in terms of dollars a little bit. What does this mean? Well, back in 2002, we got property taxes of a little bit over $1.1 million. And we could go out and buy $1.1 million worth of goods or services. Go to 19 years later, those same goods and services cost a little over $1.7 million, but the property taxes have gone to $1.28 million. So basically, we've lost about $443,000 in purchasing power. That's about 37%. And if you think back to that graph, I have it in the upper right corner, the difference between 44% and the 7% is that 37%. So all the numbers tie out and we're pretty confident that that's the true measure there. But if you can see, that's about a third of the budget for those dollars. So this is our constant battle that we have a little bit. It's not about we need a property tax levy increase of 1% to buy something new or to go out and do something different. What we're doing is trying to keep pace with inflation. And when the legislation was passed back, I believe it was Initiative 7047, it was adopted by the legislature. They allowed cities to look at their levy each year and you could do a 1% increase. And that was what the voters had asked back at that time. What we see is our expenses typically run 4 to 5% because we're a victim of inflation, just like everybody else. Our revenues typically between sales tax and property tax run anywhere from 1.2 to 2.5%. Again, it's that same gap that we have that we try to keep up with. So why is a 1% increase important? One, it's the cost of inflation grows faster than our revenues. So we need a little bit each year to try to keep up with that. If you forego or don't take a cost of living increase, you can't get it back later, even though those prices will continue to grow. So why do we need it? Just like I said, to keep pace with inflation. If we aren't doing that, we're not able to keep the existing level of services we have today. It will slowly erode into that. So when we talk about this year with that second ordinance, we have to talk about what our substantial needs are. And I went with the department heads through each of their budgets and we looked at the things that were the major changes this year. And I'll just go over them quickly. The first one, the cost of replacement of ambulances and fire engines. We buy those typically by saving up cash over the years. And we try to estimate by the time we need to buy the new one, we don't have to go out and borrow money to do that. The thing that we have to know is what is that fire engine or ambulance going to cost at some date in the future? And with inflation, that price goes up every year. We've been looking at about a 3% increase each year with inflation. But oddly enough, ambulances and fire engines, they're going up at about 5% a year. So we're having to put more money aside now each year to hopefully hit that target when it comes up time to replace those. That bumped our budget up about $230,000 a year starting this year. As you know, we had debt on number two on our City Hall building. That was set aside cell phone utility tax revenue to pay for that debt. At the time the debt was taken out, the utility tax paid for it. However, with the changes and the regulations on cell phone utility tax, that number has decreased, and the general fund is now having to subsidize that utility tax to make our bond payment on the building. That's about $25,000 a year right now. So those are ongoing recurring type expenses. Number three are just some of the other things that we see right now. The Parks Fund, because of COVID, we're not able to rent out our community center or some of our parks buildings we've had. That's going to impact the Parks Department about $70,000 a year. A couple other things we have are the sales tax revenue loss from COVID. It's probably running about $50,000. And the Transportation Benefit District, we lost about $210,000, although that item is still in the legislature for the final disposition of that. So you can see there's probably about $375,000 in increases to our budget this year. And we don't have a new revenue source for those. The 1% levy gets us at least $28,000 we can put towards those as we try to find other ways to cover those cost increases. That's why that 1% is important. So just to show you, what does that pay for? In our general fund budget, about 62% is public safety. This is fire, police, ambulance, and our court system. And then we have 16% is administration. That's city council and the mayor and my office, finance and planning. Planning is another one down here at 12%. We have some public services, and then parks is about 9%. So I went out, looked on the county website because I wanted to see how much of a dollar someone pays for property tax, what does the city get? And this was actually a property tax bill that I found out there. And I told the mayor I stole hers, so we actually get to look at her property tax bill. But it shows that what the rates are for each different entity that has property tax that we pay here in the city. So what it comes out to be, if you look at a dollar everyone pays for property taxes, about 24 cents of that goes to the city. The other 76 cents goes primarily to schools, but it also goes to the county and the state of Washington. So we get about a quarter of the property tax monies. So what I wanted to do is say, okay, what does that mean to a household? And I went in and adjusted the numbers here a little bit because I wanted to show three different houses. We have the first house is a value of $180,000. The second is $225,000. And the third is $400,000. If I take that 24 cents per thousand, the city property tax is $450, say on this first house. If we take 1% of that, the increase we're looking at for the year is $4.50. And if you look at it monthly, a 1% increase on this house is 38 cents a month. For the $225,000 house, it's 47 cents a month. And then 83 cents if someone lives in a $400,000 house. So based on these, the finding of the substantial need and showing that we're trying to keep up inflation, we have two steps that come with the staff recommendation tonight. The first is to adopt the first ordinance, 1963-20, that would implement an increase of 1%. This requires just a simple majority vote. Because the IPD is less than 1%, we have to pass step two. And that just says that we have a substantial need. And in the ordinance, we have listed those out. This ordinance requires a majority vote plus one. So it's not just a simple vote. So those are the recommendations that we have for tonight. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Does anyone have any questions for Doug Merriman?
Yeah, Doug. Doug?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Councilman, I had the, actually it was great meeting with you and Mayor Julia the other day. who is exempt from these property taxes? If seniors, low income, churches, government buildings, is there a more fair way to spread? It's $28,000. That's not really a hill of beans. But once there's a tax rate, that goes on in perpetuity, forever. Okay, when you raise the tax, it's like accrued interest or compounded interest. You raise it on every year you raise it, it goes up higher and higher and higher, so accrued interest. Isn't there a more equitable way to split to come up with $28,000? I guess that's my question. I Ward 4 has a lot of retired people, a lot of people just scraping by. I think personally, a property tax increase, and I told you guys I wouldn't surprise you. You knew it when I met with you. But I think it's onerous, and I think taxpayers should be very irate. There's got to be a more fair way to generate the $28,000, Doug. That's my feeling, and I'm sticking with it, okay?
That's okay, Glenn.
Okay.
So I think just to answer your question quickly, it's a well-debated question on what is more equitable. Because you may have some in property tax that don't pay. You have governmental entities. Some of the seniors, they're not exempted from property tax, but they are exempted from some of it. So there are those discussions on how can you spread that out more evenly across your tax base like that. And there aren't a lot of tools in that toolbox. When the original Constitution was set up, they went right after property tax. There are other things like utility taxes and things like that that you can do. And that base is more based on people's utility bills. That might spread that out a little better. And I think, Glenn, you've mentioned that even. So those are some of the things there. But right now, there's just not a lot there. And as onerous as, you might feel the property tax is, and I can understand your position there. We have to do something because at the same time, we have to tell our citizens, we're trying to keep these different levels of services available to you. And if we don't keep up with the revenues on that, we're going to have to explain to them why we're not. So it puts all of you as elected officials and staff, we all get stuck in a really tight spot. But it's something we can keep talking about. And you raise a good point, and that's something we can keep trying to see if there's something we can do.
Thank you.
Doug, let me butt in one more time, and then I'll get off my pedestal. Okay, if you've got an organization, DNR or something, if they've got 20 people working for them, they're going to impact our solid waste and sewer systems and storm waters more than I am as a single man now. So I guess I'm just saying, if we can spread the spread it out to exempted entities through utility taxes, I think we as city council people would be a lot more popular with our wards not raising property taxes, and the city would look great also. So anyway, I'm done now. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Glenn.
Okay. Are there any more other questions for Mr. Merriman?
Madam Mayor, I have a question. Councilman McGoffin.
Yes, go ahead, Councilman McGoffin.
Thank you. Doug, are you allowed to discuss your conversation with Helen, the outcome of that? What was your feeling after you had talked to her?
Oh, yeah. We had a really good conversation. I called her back and I said, anytime someone writes a letter to the city, they at least deserve a phone call and a voice and someone, that kind of pays attention to their questions. And so we had a nice conversation. I listened to what she had to say, and I actually did some work with her. We got on the county website and I looked at her property tax numbers, And what we found is the county actually raised her assessed valuation about 50%. And that was where the majority of her tax increase came from. And so she called the county and had a conversation with them, and they had some different reasons they gave her on why that was there. But I think she's still going to follow up with them a little bit more on their comparisons and things that they did. I did also kind of help her with the county's property tax exemption for senior citizens and those. And so she's looking into that. And I also gave her Serena's number in the utilities office and said, give Serena a call. I'll let her know you're coming and see if you can qualify for our discount on our utilities as well. And she wrote all that down and was going to give Serena a call and do that. So I think she was just glad someone called and had that conversation with her. And hopefully some of the things we talked about that can help her get some discounts on what she has to pay.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Mm-hmm. That brings up a question I also had too, is in our education for the general public, I think we should include the fact that a lot of people's assessed values have gone up quite a bit in the recent years. So that's going to contribute to a higher, you know, rate of tax that they're seeing. And so I think we should try to include that in our education, that this 1% that we're increasing is part of something else that they've been seeing their taxes go up because of the assessed values as well.
Right.
Very good. Thank you, Brendan. Any further discussion or comments for Mr. Merriman?
Yeah, I'd like to say a few things.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, absolutely.
I appreciated our discussion where you, where Doug and yourself broke out the city's piece of the taxes in comparison to the overall taxes. And it is not a large piece and is not really a huge amount that we would consider increasing the taxes by. And I just hope the public also realizes what a tough year that this has been with COVID, as a lot of our revenues have decreased and our revenues are also decreasing with car tabs potentially, and costs of so many things have gone up for everyone, for the public and the city as well, because of COVID and potential shortages on supplies that are needed and so forth. And it's just, it's a tough year for everyone, but we're just asking for a very small piece, very, very small piece. And I really just hope that people can understand this is an exceptional year for everyone. And as everyone knows how I feel about tax increases, I'm always against them, but in most cases, there is a reason that they become necessary. And I would just hope there can be some understanding on that. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda. All right. I want to give everybody an opportunity if they have something they'd like to comment on or a question they would like to ask. Is there anyone else? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion? And this would be Ordinance 1963-20. And it's an ordinance of the City of Cedar Woolley, Washington, approving the 2021 property tax levy at an increase of 1%. Is there no motion? Nobody wants to make a motion?
Madam Mayor, just a process question. This is a second reading, so we have up to a third reading. Is that correct?
Yeah, we could delay this to the next if that's what you would choose to do.
I'm just asking the question of where we're on the process. Thank you.
Can I jump in there, please?
Sure.
So for this, we just need the second reading. The third reading pertains to passing the budget. This has a time deadline of getting it into the county. So this is the night that we have to vote on this levy.
Okay, thank you, Doug. All right, Council.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman McGoffin.
I make a motion to pass the ordinance 196320 to adjust the levy rate by 1%.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Joellen, Council Member Hestey.
All right, so I have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by same sign.
Aye.
Okay, so we have one opposed, and that is Councilman Allen. So the motion does pass. The second ordinance, as Mr. Merriman had talked about, is the ordinance making the declaration substantial needs for setting the property tax levy for 2021. And we do need to pass this one. To go along with the ordinance that we just passed. It's ordinance 1964. And this is it's a super vote. So I would need, at least five to approve. So I'm gonna go through with the roll call. And if you can just say yes or no. So Councilman Owen, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Councilwoman Kesty?
Yes.
Councilwoman Kinzer?
Yes.
Councilman McGoffin?
Yes.
Councilman Allen?
Grumpy says no.
It's okay. Councilman DeYoung?
No.
Okay. So we have 4-2. Doug, does that do it or not?
It does.
Okay. All right. So with that, we are going to move on to the utility rate ordinance, but first I'm gonna hold a public hearing for that. It's 6:44. So I'm gonna open up the public hearing for the utility rate ordinance. If there's anyone who would like to speak for or against, please state your name and your address and keep it to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to speak to it? Okay, I do not hear anyone. It is 6:45, so I am going to close this public hearing on the utility rate ordinance, and I am going to again turn it back over to Mr. Merriman.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. And again, I'll just check and make sure the screen is showing up so someone can let me know.
I see it. Sure. It looks good.
Okay, great, thank you. When I open those up, I can't see everybody else, so I need someone to let me know, so thank you. Okay, so tonight what we have to talk about are the utility rate discussions for our three utilities. We have sewer, solid waste, and stormwater. So what I'll do is briefly go through each of our utilities and let you know kind of what we're seeing out there. We'll start with the wastewater fund or the sewer fund. It's number 401. We have a sewer plan that Katie Isaacs and a consultant worked with us on that council had approved. In that long range sewer plan, we look at our capital projects, our operating, and also the possibility of building a wastewater treatment plant at some date in the future. That's still to be determined. In order to make everything work through the long run, it shows we're using about a 2.3% annual cost of living to keep pace. And it's almost the same conversation about inflation and doing that. So what do people get for that 2.3%? That's a thing that's important to talk about. And the list we have here, this comes off of a list that Mark Freiberger has been working on. We're doing our capital facilities plan, our CFP, and we're breaking down all of our projects by year. And then we match up the revenues to it in our planning process to make sure we can pay for everything. And as you can see, we have a pretty busy list for 2021. Our laboratory ops building is about $1.6 million, which is the largest one. And then we have several projects here of different costs and different amounts that are those total capital projects we have to do for this next year. The part that's even more important to look at is our operations. So capital, they're kind of one-time projects that come up, but we have to be really careful of is the operations and what does it cost every year for the stuff that we do routinely and often. And so I broke out the sewer budget for 2020 and 2021 because I wanted to see where are the changes at. So I don't just look at it as one number. I break it down into maintenance, sewer services, supplies, services, all these different things, because I want to see what buckets of money they use and what are the changes we see. And so for going from 2020 to 2021, what I hoped to see was a 2.3% change, because that's what our sewer plan was saying we needed. And it came actually to 2.29. I thought, you know, that's pretty close. It doesn't get much closer than that. So it does show for us to do our main operations at the sewage treatment plant that we do need about a 2.3% rate increase. The second utility is a solid waste fund. And in this, they have a little bit shorter capital improvement plan because they don't build a lot of different buildings or lift stations in that. So the operations facility that we're looking at in 2021, Mark has $30,000 set aside for that share of the design work for that new building. That's the only project we have listed on there right now. What I did look at, again, was looking at the operations of that department and breaking it down into these categories. And it was interesting to see the main item here that's growing the most is maintenance. And this is on our vehicles. Nathan sent a note to me that talked, or excuse me, Leo did, about the maintenance on the vehicles. You know, we're running 4,000 accounts 7 days a week. And as the trucks get older and that, you start getting towards the end of those life cycles before we do the next replacement, you will see that go up. It's not a lot of money. 13% sounds like a lot, but we're going from 97,000 to 110,000. And that is reasonable based on our history and what we're seeing right now. The other items as well, as you go down here, you can see the different costs. Transfers, we have a change in some of the allocated overhead and things from there. That actually went down. But when I add all of these up and came down, it was to about a 2.32%. Cost of living change between the 2 years. One of the things that does impact this, and it's a future conversation we may need to have, is recycle. And we've gotten into the position the last couple of years where recycle costs more for us to haul and distribute away than regular garbage does. But we're still priced somewhat where it was the other way around back in the days where we actually paid less to get rid of recycle stuff. So we will have to have that conversation. But for today, we're looking at a 2.32% change in solid waste. The storm water fund is kind of the quiet one. It has a collection system repair item as its capital item. And what this is going out some of the pipelines in stormwater. Councilman Allen, I believe it was mentioned, he has a swimming pool in his yard that he'd like to see go away. And that is probably a result of rainwater and things like that. So there are different things around the city we have to look at as some of those system repairs. So I did the same thing too. I broke out the stormwater fund into its categories and looked at different things in there. There's a couple of things here I want to look at to make sure we're charging them to the right category, because you can see maintenance went down, but goods and services went up. And that's a bit of a strange accounting thing, because when you pay someone from outside the city to do work, it's considered a service. even though they might be doing maintenance. So it's kind of an awkward thing accounting-wise that I'm going to take a look at and see if we can find a way to do that. Overall, everything's fine. I just want to make sure it's in the right line item. So that'll be interesting to find out. When I look at all of this, I came down to the same number again. It was 2.31% for the stormwater fund. So everything is running around that 2.3% mark. So I took all three and just did a summary chart here a little bit that shows the bottom lines for each of those. And when you'd have rounding and everything there, it comes to about 2.31%. It was actually like 2.30549, but just call it simple. So what we're doing on the ordinances is just making it 2.3%. The CPIU, it's the Consumer Price Index for urban areas like that. It's coming in at 2.474%. A lot of cities just mark their utilities to the CPIU and they make those adjustments each year. But Mark and I looked at it, we didn't see a justification for charging that extra, 7.17%. So our recommendation, we just want to keep it at the 2.3. That was just a little more than what we really needed. So I did go out again and I found, looked at some utility bills and got an average in the city running around $125.14. So if you take that times 2.3%, this change would be about $2.87 a month for the average household in Cedar Woolley. So the items that we have to do tonight, one is to hold a public hearing, which I believe we did. And then we have to adopt three ordinances, one for each different utility. So I've listed these out here to help with any motions or anything there, but we would have to do each of these individually. And I can answer any questions you might have.
So any questions or comments for Mr. Merriman? Okay. Thank you, Doug. As always, you do great presentations. So,
Mayor Julia, it's Johnson. It's Joanne Kesty, Ward 2.
Yes.
It's the utility portion that has me with already doing the other increase, doing the increase on this. We can't have any more time to try and think of how we could cut something to make this not be quite a large sum for the residents here. We can't make this think a little bit longer on this.
I believe, Mr. Merriman, did you say this has to be taken care of tonight? Was it
That was the property tax one. This one we have a little more time.
Okay.
The thing you have to do, and I appreciate the comment, is we would have to go back and just make cuts. And we could come back with a plan to do that. But just know that it would throw us off of that capital facilities plan, which would mean we would have to defer some of those projects and things that we need to do. So that's why it comes to that.
And there are, when we were speaking, we had a really good conversation about the different options that are out there for people who might qualify for some discounts. Mm-hmm. Could we let people know about that as well?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. And I think if council were to look at something, I have to talk to Mark about this. I don't want to pull the rug out from under the utilities in there. But even look at our discount program and see how many people are actually taking advantage of that. You always have to look at it. If you market that, put it out there, you could end up losing some of your revenues. But I think when you talk about fairness and equity and those things, that might be a smart thing for us to talk about.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Kessler.
Question?
Yes,
Mayor, this is Grumpy Glenn again. Okay. I'm in favor of adopting all three of these. I think utility taxes are equitable. we're trying to recoup costs that are we're being charged for. And I don't find anything onerous about them. They're user taxes. So anyway, I'll get off, but I do appreciate Council Lady Keske's comments, okay?
Thank you, Councilman Allen. And Councilman DeYoung, did you have a comment you wanted to make or a question?
Yeah, just a question. Thank you. Doug, we had talked about a survey in the region of kind of where we fit in that bell curve of utility taxes. Were we able to get that survey complete? And if not, when can we anticipate seeing that?
We don't have that completed yet. I would say just getting through the audit and budget right now. Once we get those, I would say probably that, January, we could probably come back once we get through the holidays.
So after we have consideration of the utility tax ordinance?
Correct.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have a comment, Mayor. This is Councilman Owen.
Yes, go ahead, Councilman Owen.
As I talked about in our conversation, the recycle program, I think, is just zilt. I mean, it's a dead horse. And I would like to see Doug and Mark and Leo get together, and I would like to see it go away. If you want to recycle, you can put your stuff in a bag. We take ours out once a month, and it still ain't full, but it's mostly milk jugs and water bottles. And if you want to recycle, you can, and it wouldn't hurt you to make one trip to the county landfill and dump it free, of course, or a container down it to solid waste, and like on a Saturday, take it down and dump it. But I think this recycle should go away. It's not profitable. It's costing the city money, wear and tear on the truck. And I would like for Doug and, like I say, Mark and Leo get together and see if they can't get rid of this thing.
And to that, I want to let you know, I made mention of this when we met with all of you this past couple weeks, that I have already sent a memo to Mr. Freiberger and asked him to put together a presentation for the council so that you will have opportunity to see the pros and the cons. And I have asked him to do that after the first of the year when we come back from the holidays. And we could make any adjustments at that point, so.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Yes. Councilwoman Kinzer.
I would just like to say that I'm in agreement with Chuck on that. It doesn't seem like there is such a great market for recyclables as there was 5 years ago. So I'd really like to look at that again also.
All right. Perfect.
Madam Mayor, may I talk about recycling?
Councilman DeYoung, yes.
Thank you. So I know the city gets fined if we don't have a certain proportion that's acceptable. I'm just trying to, it would be interesting in the presentation, subsequent presentation, that how much money the city has spent in that expense as well. This is a highly emotional issue. I for one appreciate curbside pickup, because I'm not going to walk my recycle down to the transfer station. And it's a highly emotional issue that we should have some facts and some statistics on. I'm interested in considering the pros and cons. So I look forward to that presentation. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes. So as far as I know, we haven't been fined at all. So we haven't been fined at all. So correct me if I'm wrong, but that has not crossed my desk. I have not heard that from finance. So.
No, I can confirm we haven't had that. We probably need to do a little research on recycle and just make sure there aren't any state regulations on as far as how much we might have to do or anything like that. But we can get that information and bring that back to council.
Okay, so having heard your comments, are there other questions or comments before I ask for a motion to adopt Ordinance 1965-20, which would be adjusting the 2021 sanitary sewer rates? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Allen, I make a motion that we adopt Ordinance 1965-20 adjusting the 2021 sanitary sewer rates.
All right, thank you. Is there a second?
Councilman McGoffin, I second.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Allen, seconded by Councilmember McGoffin. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll go through the roll call again. It seems like that might work better. So Councilman Owen, I'm going to start with you. Is it a yes or a no for the adoption of Ordinance 1965-20?
I myself, Mayor, would like to see go along with Joe Allen and put this off for next meeting.
Put it okay. So,
Mayor, I have a point of parliamentary procedure.
Yes.
I think we're in a vote right now.
Yes, we already have a motion on the table.
Thank you.
Yes.
So it's an up or down vote at this point, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. So that's affirmation, rejection, or abstention?
Yes, I need a vote one way or the other, yes or no. So Councilman Owen, is that a yes or a no?
Gonna squeeze on me. I suppose it's a yes.
And Councilman Kesty?
Yes.
Councilwoman Kinzer?
No.
Okay. Councilman McGoffin?
Yes.
And Councilman Allen?
Yes.
Councilman DeYoung?
No.
Okay. So 4-2 with Councilwoman Kinzer and Councilman DeYoung opposing Ordinance 1965-20. So then moving on to Ordinance 1966-20, adjusting 2021 solid waste rates. Again, I'll go through the roll call. Councilman Owen?
Yes.
Councilwoman Kesty?
Madam Mayor, point of parliamentary procedure, who made the motion and who seconded?
No one, Madam Mayor.
Is there a motion for Ordinance 1966-20, the solid waste rates?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I move to table to a third reading Ordinance 1966-20 and 1967-20.
Okay, is there a second regarding that?
I second that. Councilwoman Kinzer.
Okay, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And those opposed, same sign. Okay, so we have decided to table Ordinance 1966-20 to our next council meeting.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
I would suggest for consideration that we might be able to speed up the schedule of getting the information back from the consultant on where we sit on in the bell curve statistically with our utility rates in our region.
Mr. Merriman, is that going to be possible with your schedule?
Yeah, we'll find a way to do that.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is just make sure, I don't want to have us prepare a bunch of stuff that you really don't want to look at. But what we're really looking at is can we compare our rates to our neighboring cities around here? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
I'm trying to unmute, pardon me. That is the suggestion from our neighbors in Anacortes and Mount Vernon and Burlington and et cetera. Thank you very much.
All right, so then we are also looking at Ordinance 1967-20. What is council's pleasure with that?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to, I believe Council Member DeYoung already made a motion to table
them. I did, to table them both. I'm sorry if I was unclear, Madam Mayor. But
yeah, you were. I was asking about Ordinance 1967. Okay, no problem. All right, so then that is our business for the evening. And unless there is anything for the good of the order, we are adjourned. Everybody have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, Madam Mayor.